Back, isn't it? Yeah, it's good to be back. Did you know that you are the fulfillment of a prophetic word this morning? So, I'll take you back to Sunday, the 7th of December, 2025. And we sung that song, Do You Feel the Mountains Tremble, over in Westwood. And I really felt at that time that was really a prophetic word for us as a church. We were in a place where we didn't really want to be because we wanted to be back here in this place. And it was in particular the line, open up the doors and let the music play. And so Chris was sort of talking about it earlier this, when we were prior to singing. And let the streets resound with singing. And that's what we want to be again, is God's workers building his kingdom in this place. And for too long, we hadn't been able to open up the doors and have an impact here on a Sunday morning in Bradford-on-Avon. And that has now changed. And it's now time for us to be bold, to bring our faith and bring back God's kingdom into this place. What we then did was on Monday the 15th of December in the pouring rain, I remember it because it was absolutely chucking it down. Some of us stood at the front, at the doors at the front there, still doors still locked to us, and we laid hands on this building and prayed that we would be able to get back in here to proclaim God's word and God's kingdom. You know, the town council had the responsibility for bringing this place back together. And they've done a fabulous job. There's still a few squiggles and niggles to sort out, but they've done a great job. But it's our responsibility as a church to bring in God's kingdom back into this place. And so we begin today bringing God's kingdom back into this place. And then we moved on 6 months, and May the 31st, we prayed for this town in three different locations, up at St. Mary Tory, at the Saxon Church, and at the centre. And God was saying, it's not ready yet. You're not ready yet. Because we were hoping that the following Sunday, the beginning of June, we were going to be back in here, and that wasn't what God wanted. And so then, last Sunday again, we prayed in three locations for this town. And we did a prayer walk, and we covered lots and lots of different things about the facets of this town. And we prayed for this town. Because of our prayers, we were starting to turn the dial positively for God's kingdom. And so this morning, you singing that song is the fulfillment of that prophetic word. The responsibility now passes to us to keep turning that dial, to keep building God's kingdom. And so here we are now, back in St. Margaret's Hall. So what? So what now? What should we do now we are back here? Should we stay the same as we were 18 months ago? Or should we do things differently? How do we reach out into the community and into the town? How do we become an outward-facing church? You know, it'd be really easy for us to say, well, we're back in here, let's have a really nice time together, meeting together, have tea and coffee and biscuits and a nice time of fellowship. But that's not what we are about. That's not what God wants us to be in this town. He wants us to be an outward-facing church. It's one of the reasons why we've had the free Bibles table out front this morning, outside, in the street. And I don't know how many Bibles were given away this morning, but certainly at least one was. I saw it being handed over. So how do we make the best of the opportunity that God has now given us to have our church meeting back in the center of our town? Well, the answer of making that opportunity happen is actually down to you. Every single one of you in this building, sitting here right now. So here's my first challenge. What impact does coming back here have for you? What is your expectation of being back here in this place? Perhaps you are wondering, what could I do to be part of that? Do you feel equipped this morning to do what God is asking you to do? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you ready to use the gifts that God has given you? And do you feel you know what God's purpose is for you? The bottom line is, how do you know that you can realize the potential that God has placed in you? Did you know that? Did you know that you have the potential to be like Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, to minister under the same power that Jesus had when he was here on earth? You see, Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We just need to understand what God's purpose is for our lives, to be equipped and to realize that full. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, in Christ, you are not the same person as you were before you knew Jesus. That means your ambitions, your thoughts, your abilities, they are now different in Christ. They have a different focus. It's about building the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In other words, we are God's masterpiece. Can you imagine that? That God has such an interest in your life that the plan he has for you is a perfect fit. It's like one of the great masters of the great paintings that you might go and see in the National Gallery. God's plan for your life is perfect. And so you have the potential to do the amazing things that God wants you to do. You just have to let him work through you and not work under your own steam. You see, God's plan for you includes a dynamic, and this is a key word, a dynamic series of opportunities to serve him for good, for serving others. I bet you didn't think coming in here this morning that you felt particularly dynamic. You're thinking, oh, it's going to be another hot Sunday, and there are going to be any refreshments, and it's going to be hot and stuffy. But God wants you to be dynamic. That might mean you've got to change a bit where you are now. That you need to say, God, how do I be a dynamic witness for you? So it's about what you do with these opportunities that really matters. So returning to the key questions, how can I achieve my full potential? So seven things, right? Here we go. Seven things, nice and quick. Otherwise, you'll fall asleep in the warmth. Number one, stay close to Jesus. John 15, verse 5 says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Life isn't branding. Just maybe you've moved away from Jesus. I used to have a poster. It said, "Does God seem far away?" And then the strapline was, "Guess who moved?" See, you must be closely connected to who Jesus is to achieve the plans he has for you. Achieving your God-given potential is about accepting what God gives you to achieve it. Jesus is your example. And allow the Holy Spirit to energize and guide you So stay close to Jesus. Number two, have faith. Matthew 21:21 says, Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea. And it will happen. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And that's kind of the reinforcement of what Bill was saying just now about our faith. Now, Jesus was not suggesting that our prayers should be used for spectacular mountain-moving displays or to ask for anything and everything. Nor was he promising his disciples that they would receive whatever they wanted just by simply asking. You see, God won't grant requests that don't tie into his will. If it's aligned to God's will, then God's recognizing that our ambition is to further his kingdom here on this earth. This is not a blank check to fill in as we please. You see, to be fulfilled, our requests made to God in prayer must be in harmony with his will. That's really important. And don't forget this little wrinkle. Requests should be made in Jesus' name. Okay? Not in the name of anything else, not in your own strength, not in your own ambition, but in the name of Jesus. Don't forget that little point. Now, that doesn't mean to say we shouldn't have faith to move mountains. And some of you, as we've been talking about, are in the storm. You're facing a mountain in your life. But have you talked to God seriously about them? Have you really gone to God and said, I have this situation, I don't know how to handle it, I don't know how to deal with it, I don't know how to speak into it? Have you actually done that? Where is your faith in facing your mountain? Remember, God can do anything, even what seems humanly impossible. Number three, stay salty. Matthew 5:13-16 says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now, I cannot imagine any of you in this building want to be felt as worthless. You want to be valued. You want to be celebrated by your Heavenly Father. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp needs to shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. You have the potential to reflect the glory of God in this place, in this town, in your experience, with your neighbors, with your work colleagues, with your schoolmates, your college mates, doesn't matter who it is, you have that opportunity to show Jesus in your life. You see, God puts you into these positions where he wants you to be that light on a hilltop, shining light onto others, telling them about Jesus and who Jesus actually is. He wants to show you and them things that are in you that point to giving him the glory. Sometimes you won't get noticed, but you'd be surprised how much people do notice the light of Christ in you. Number four, remember you are chosen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You know, there is no greater self-worth than being chosen. Now, when I was at school, I was rather a tall, gangly chap. Nothing like the figure you see before me now. And when it came to sports, we all lined up, of course, didn't we? And the school captains then picked who they wanted on their football team. Generally speaking, I was usually one of the last to be picked. I didn't mind too much because I was never really that good at games. So I usually tried to spend most of my time trying to get out of games and with a sick note. But it's that point about this is you, being chosen is important to us emotionally. And it's also important to us spiritually. So to know this morning that God chooses you. God chooses you. Now, that might be important to somebody here who's feeling a bit on the edge, a bit out of it, a bit isolated. Well, know this morning that God loves you so much that he chooses you. See, God has set you apart for a specific role. I don't know what your role is. That's between you and God to find out. And it's not because of any personal merit or because you've been in the church the longest or you're always here doing the setup or whatever else it might be. God's chosen you for a specific purpose. And being chosen implies a special relationship with God. I think it's really exciting. You know, you will have people who you count on as your best friends, your special friends. But to know that God regards you as special, that shows tremendous value to you. Number five, start to realize your potential and do it well. Romans 12, 6 to 10 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. See, it doesn't matter how you start to realize your potential. What matters is that you started at all. And this matters in the context of where we are as a church right now. We've turned 180 degrees and we're back in St. Margaret's Hall in the center of town. So start doing the little things well and allow God to show you the bigger things to move on to. See, God gives us gifts that we can build up the church. And to use them effectively, we must realize that all gifts and abilities come from God. Are we giving God the honor for the gifts and abilities that we also need to understand that everybody has the same gifts. And so sometimes God is asking you to fill a gap in a situation with your abilities. Know who we are and what we do best. Have you actually asked God, what do I do best? Might not be what you think. Might be something yet to be discovered. We need to dedicate our gifts to God's service and not to our own personal success or ambition. And we need to be willing to utilize our gifts unreservedly. You know, sometimes there will be challenges on our time, but God wants us to use our gifts and abilities unreservedly. Number six, keep going. Philippians 4:9 says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 3:12 to 14 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. It would be easy to think which to begin from. But if you're not here to keep pressing on, you're not going to hear. And in a ability to come hard, you can do what you really want. Human ability, spirit, force, life, sound, Corinthians, and two people. Leaders of the church invested in. And God promises us that we have far more potential than we can ever imagine. And just what can we achieve if we realize that potential? Now, significant progress towards our potential won't happen overnight. It will be a journey. But you know, with small, steady steps, we move forward. So as a church, our challenge this morning is, are you ready to step forward and move forward? Are you ready to persevere? Are you ready to realize your full potential? You see, this morning is all about your potential. Each and every one of you out there can bring a dynamism to this church that's never been seen before. But it's reliance on you stepping forward to realize your each and every one's individual potential. So I guess my challenge to you to finish is, do you want to be used by God to realize your full potential? Is that something that you actually want to have happen? I'm going to ask if you want to be that kind of person, if you want to realize God's full potential for your life, would you stand with me right now, if you're able to? Because this is a cusp moment. This is important for the life of this church, that we don't become the same old church we were 18 months ago, but actually we become an outward-looking church into this community. But to achieve that as a collective of Christians here in this town, you need to each individually realize your potential. So I'm going to pray just now, and you pray in your own way to God right now and ask him to reveal and to enhance your potential for your own experience. Father God, we just thank you for, again, we thank you for being in this place again. Lord, we want to build your kingdom from this center outwards. We want to be an outward-facing church. We want to bring glory to this town in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just need to do that by realizing our full potential. So, Father, we just ask by your Holy Spirit, as these people standing in front of you, Lord, to come and impact us by your Holy Spirit, to make known to us how we realize our full potential, to reveal to us the gifts of service that we can bring to this church in Bradford and Avon. Lord, for us to make a difference, for us to be part of a dynamic people building your kingdom in this place. So, Father, I just pray a blessing on all of these people here this morning. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will impact each and every one of their lives, that as we leave this place, we go out different to the way we came in. And that as we meet and encounter people in the week ahead, we will feel bold enough to tell them about Jesus and what we were doing on Sunday morning. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to come together, isn't it, as the family of God. We are a family. It's lovely to welcome Jeff. It's lovely to welcome the Greek contingent. But we are all family, and in no place do I hear, when the words have been spoken over this church, that this is the exclusive right for the eldership or for the leadership. Yeah? We're in this together. We are all the family of God. So I really believe that God is moving, that he is working his purposes out. He has spoken some amazing words over this church, words that will impact this town. You know, one of the words that comes to mind is that we will find that people come to this town not to see the old churches of yesterday, the Saxon church, but to see the church of today and to see what God is doing. He's also told us that we will be a church that's characterized by healing. Unfortunately, for that to come true, people need healing. Yeah? We're in the situation now where people need healing. So please believe that God is working his purposes out. That God knows what is happening. But God can turn all things round that the enemy intended for evil for good. And in order to do that, people need to be healed. So we need to leave this building with encouragement and faith in our hearts that we have touched the very throne of God himself. That the prayers that have been offered up are powerful and effective. Exactly what it says in James. Fervent prayers avail much. Yeah? So let's go with absolute faith in our hearts. But what I would say is, you know, if you want to respond and if you feel that you just want one of the leaders just to pray for you, we're here. Come up and pray, and we'll pray for you. But just exactly as Steve has said, the onus is on you to get before the Lord and say, Lord, where is my gifting? Lord, where is my special thing that you've absolutely mapped out for me? Even before the beginning of time, God made you for a purpose. Yeah? So, Father God, we thank you for the joy that it is to be in your presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that amazing hope that we have in you through Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that it is an anchor for our soul. Lord, we thank you that even though the storms may rage, we are steadfastly anchored to you, Lord. Lord, no matter what may happen, our faith and our eyes are firmly fixed on you. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place this morning, as we go our separate ways, that our hope and our faith and our eyes will remain fixed on you. Lord, that our expectation will be that this week we will see amazing things that our God and our Father has achieved. I thank you, Lord, that we can walk a walk of faith, day in, day out, hour by hour, minute by minute. That no matter what the enemy tries to do, you are with us, and none can pluck us out of your hands. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of what's been spoken this morning. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you encourage each and every one of us, that you will build us up, that we will be greatly encouraged and strengthened by all that you say and do, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's get in some fellowship one with another, and have a lovely week.